In this episode, we're going to be hanging out with Gary McClure, a consultant and a friend of mine, consults companies at a very high level. And we're going to unpack with him systems. Why are systems important for every business owner, especially financial advisors? In the past, I rejected systems as something that wasn't exciting. I wanted to focus more on selling and serving my clients. What happened, though, is as my business grew and became more complex, things would start breaking or team members would get frustrated. And so what happened is the frustration points ended up revealing areas of my business that I needed a system. I shouldn't recreate things every single time I do it. Every time I meet with a prospect or a client, it shouldn't be a new meeting with me in a yellow pad. We should have something that we know works and we should do it over and over again. It helps us be more efficient and it helps us be more profitable. So we're going to talk about systems with Gary. Let's jump in. Gary, welcome to the podcast, my friend.
Well, thank you, Stan. Thanks for having me.
Yes, you are in Nashville. We're buddies. So for everybody listening, me and Gary hang out. We played golf a couple times together. He's much better than I am. But today we're going to talk about systems. So Gary, I'd love, this is on its surface, maybe not the most exciting topic, but I've come to love it and appreciate it more as a business owner. It helps on every level. It's needed to scale. And so I think we'll talk kind of your background, but then we'll get into like, what are systems? Why are they important? And hopefully by the end of it, convince everybody listening that they need to level up their systems.
Yep. Great.
So what's your kind of high level background? What brought you to, you were in the world of consulting at a high level?
Yeah. I've got two careers. My first career was in corporate marketing. And then a buddy of mine called me and said, "Hey, we're starting this consulting firm in Nashville and you don't have to travel because we're going to focus just on the Nashville market." That was 18 years ago. And I've been in several different consulting firms, but my current one is called Thrivance, and we're a full-service management consulting firm here in Nashville. And I tell you what, I just love the idea of helping leaders do what they do best. So I lead our strategy practice and our AI practice, and I use systems all the time. So it's fun to talk about it with you today.
Nice. So I think I've heard people say, even if you don't think you have a system, you have one, it's just a really bad one. So how would you kind of at the highest level define a system, and then we'll adapt it and try to level it up as we go through the conversation?
Yeah. I tend to think about them as like frameworks or models. They're simply tools, and they help us think through perhaps complex situations and add clarity around it. I remember one time I heard someone describe it as mental scaffolding.
Nice.
I thought that is such a great visual. They help us organize and simplify complexity. So let me give you an example that might hit home with you. So Stan, if I asked you to explain values-based budgeting, for example, you would have no problem listing out all of the core reasons why people spend their money, the why behind it. So health, connection, adventure, learning, whatever. And that would come so easy to you because you've worked through a framework like this with probably hundreds of clients.
Yeah.
Right. So you have found a standard way to help folks really understand their spending. And you know it by heart. And this framework gives you structure, it gives you consistency. I mean, it's just a really helpful tool for you.
Yeah, no, I love that. Because I do feel like as an advisor, where I would find myself getting frustrated is when I feel like we were just recreating things all the time. Like everything felt heavy. And yeah. When you say mental framework, to me, it's like, how do I make the process the next time even faster to get from where I am to where I know I need to end up? And even still, I feel maybe, I think of processes at a high level, but it's like, I'm sure they can be applied even to like the smallest thing from like, what's your ChatGPT question sequence you ask to get a good answer? And I know as an entrepreneur, like I want to spend less time dealing with friction of things and more time solving problems and communicating that to people.
Yeah, agree. And I think you hit on something really good a second ago. You said, it provides that structure, but also flexibility. Because a lot of times I think people get caught up when they think of systems like, oh, it's so rigid. I have to follow it. You know, this checklist of 1, 2, 3. But what I love about frameworks or models is that, yes, it gives you, it's kind of like bowling. So you have small kids. So bowling, sometimes you get the option of putting those bumper rails. You know what I'm talking about? The bumper rails. So you don't put it in the gutter like I would usually do. What that does is it keeps you kind of in the middle, but you have freedom to put the bowling ball kind of anywhere you want between those two bumpers. And that's the way I kind of consider these frameworks. Yes, you get to the final destination or your goal at the end of the lane, but it's providing you some bumpers and some guidelines. It's that scaffolding that I mentioned a second ago. That's kind of a visual for me. So it gives you both the structure and the flexibility to use it.
Yeah, that helps me because my body rejects if you were to say, hey, Sten, follow these 6 steps all the time. Like, yeah, that would feel like constraining. It's like, no, I want to be more creative. I want to adapt as things change. But I've also recognized even in myself, like with too much lane, you know, I'm losing efficiencies because I'm wandering too much. But man, you put some boundaries there and let me operate within it. Yeah. That I'm open-minded to. So when you work,
do you have some that you have in your back pocket that you use?
I have some that we're developing. So I think as I look at my advisor journey, I think at first it was like a sales process was all we were taught. Like, what is your system for calling leads? And in the advisor world, it's really a numbers-based system, meaning just it's not quality, it's quantity. So call as many people as you can, and eventually it'll work out. And so, well, I guess that's a system of some kind. It was one that I was like, I reject that. It feels average at best. But then as I started hiring people, I don't even think I thought of hiring as a process until more recently when I'm like, wow, this system is not in place and I'm not getting the results I want. So I need to try to have a better system to keep myself accountable from making like emotional or like, hey, this person seems nice, let's hire them. I think after learning to sell and have a process around that, I think it went to like more like client service system. And then it went from maybe a client onboarding system. And then eventually I was like, okay, I need to have a system around my leadership to my team to stay engaged. And then I need to have like, okay, even more so in the last 6 months, I'll be speaking at a conference in Austin in a few months on hiring, not because I perfected it, because it's like, man, here's all the stuff I tried and eventually this thing is working now. So ever since I've kind of opened my mind to like, don't be the guy that's always just rejecting systems, because people on my team thrive on it that are not like me. And they're like, Sten, we need this stuff. And now they're helping me develop these systems. So it's almost like now I kind of see it everywhere.
Yeah. Good examples.
So when you come into a business with people, do you find that, does it depend on who the leader is? If they just happen to be kind of a systems nerd, they have it dialed in and then most others don't? Like what, for all of our listeners who some are like, man, Sten, I'm more like you. Others are like, you know, I think about systems when I sleep at night. What do you usually run into?
I think it's highly situational. As a management consultant, you know, we see things almost on a daily basis. We see things differently. I remember this was, gosh, many years ago when I first started out. And this is where a framework really helped me, or a system really helped me. So I was in a situation where I had no clue what I was doing. It was one of my first engagement as a management consultant.
Was that part of your sales pitch? Is that part of your sales pitch? Like, I don't know what I'm doing, but let's try it out.
Yeah. Trust me.
Trust me.
No, so my client was in correctional healthcare. So, you know, prison healthcare. And I was just mortified because, I mean, first of all, I'd never been to prison, you know, up to that point. And then I was like very new into healthcare. So I'm like, I'm not really sure. And so the opportunity there was to overhaul how they built proposals. So response to RFPs and such. And so here I am, I'm a new management consultant. And then I realized, hold on a second, I know something about process improvement frameworks. I know how that works. So I can just ask probing questions. I can rely on these models until I had a, you know, full grasp of the situation. It's that old, what is it? Fake it till you make it, right? And that's what I tell young professionals. A lot of them say, oh, you're a management consultant. You must be really smart in, you know, these two or three things. And I share, quite honestly, actually, no. You just need to be good at two things as a consultant. Asking great questions and then relying on these proven frameworks or models to guide you down the path. So to me, that's what I love about it. It's almost like a cheat code in gaming, right? So you can almost pull it out of your pocket and rescue you.
That's good.
When you feel like you're in over your head, or you feel like you're in a situation where it's going to go south pretty quickly. So again, I see it as that undergirding where I don't have to know everything about a situation. I can go in and say, hey, trust your experience, trust your training around these models, and just use them for what they're intended to do.
It sounds like, I think a lot of advisors, we think of ourselves as consultants and coaches, which is the world you're in. I know when I was a younger advisor, I had some head trash around, like, I have to have the answer to every financial problem.
And yes,
that's my worth. And over time, I realized, like, I think I'm more of like a project manager, consultant, and coach versus like this Wikipedia of every financial data point ever, because I think I can just go look that up. I'm really more of like just a problem solver with a system I've built. And so I know within our practice, we use what we call plan score, and it's something we built internally, and there's a software to it, and then we let other advisors use it. Because it, as opposed to, you know, 100,000 advisors all doing something differently, it's like, no, there's probably something we can agree on, like that is foundationally true for all of us when it comes to financial planning. We may add nuance on top of that, but the system is really what allows us to be like scalable and profitable from there. And I think that's one reason we started this podcast years ago in our coaching company is like, man, people are just frustrated and they're all trying it differently. And for whatever reason, because a lot of advisors start as salespeople first and then eventually realize like, hey, I'm more of a business owner. So I got to learn to hire people. I got to learn to have systems. But I think when I hear you share that story, it's like you didn't have the underlying like real life experience in that situation. But if you're a young advisor listening, you can learn a framework and then just coach people to it. That just feels freeing when you put it that way.
Yeah, thank you. And I think, too, it's really helpful, or doubly helpful, if you want to describe it that way, is when both sides of the equation are looking at the same model. And here's what I mean by that. So you have your advisor and you have a family that you're working with. Take SMART goals, all right? That's a framework that's been around for years and years and years. Think about the power of working through SMART goals when both your advisor and the family are familiar with it. You know, it's specific, it's measurable. What is it? Attainable, relevant, and time-bound. So now if both sides of the equation are familiar with the framework, think about the clarity and the power around that planning. And I'm assuming that your cohorts of advisors, I mean, that's probably something they do very often with families is what is your long-term financial goals and so on. So that's an example of, oh my gosh, if the framework or the model is familiar to both sides, it's so, so powerful.
The time is here. Our Overcoming Resistance course is now live. I would give anything to go back in time and have this information earlier in my career. I would have wanted to reject average and recognize the most important decisions I should make as a business owner. Visit gobeelite.com to access the course now. I wish I would have had this sooner, and now I'm giving it to you. So there's, I guess, the SMART goal. I love the idea of whenever you, and this, I use one with clients called the investment decision filter. And I tell them, this is how we evaluate investments. And I even say, if I never see you again, this is how you should evaluate investments. Like, I think at times a framework or process is like a gift to somebody because you're taking something that feels loose or confusing or gray. And you're like, just kind of saying like, you're putting some boundaries around it. So when you think back on your career, imagine you were hired to come in and like work with a financial advisory firm. Is system something you look for right away? Or is there usually something else you're like, hey, I got to solve this before we can get to the systems? How do you approach it?
I don't look for systems specifically. I look for the challenges of where there is fuzziness or gray area or misconceptions or myths, something that needs to be clarified. And if I notice within that scenario, maybe there are misconceptions that have been grown and have tentacles throughout, you know, the last 10 years or so within the organization, then you go, hey, let's clarify this. And let me paint this picture for you. And sometimes if you add clarity around three or four aspects of a model, people can go, oh, wait a minute, I've never thought about it that way. So sometimes it's just a different lens through which to look at something that historically has been maybe set within their culture, but is still inaccurate or still, you know, not effective.
I have found at times a third party coming in and saying something is either received better, heard differently before. So I'm a huge fan of like who, not how, when you can bring somebody in. And maybe even more often than not, try to bring an outside voice in to help, especially if you have a team. When you think of clients you've worked with in the past, what makes an amazing client for you? And then what creates like a really frustrating engagement? Is it just strictly they're willing to listen and learn? Is it their level of awareness on the issues they're having? What does that look like?
First of all, it's the clarity around the problem. So many times, Sten, a client will call or prospective client will call and say, you know what, we really need a, you know, whatever that, well, they need help with a particular challenge. And of course, we're glad to help. And within the first 2 weeks, instead of a, they need a prime or something that's really not what they have approached us with. And so we take that information and really kind of guide the path forward from that. And again, that's where models and systems and frameworks really help, is they help establish that roadmap moving forward. So it really is understanding clarity on the front end.
Is the thing you're hired for usually the thing they end up needing, or is there always like something else going on?
It's pretty common to where we get in and we realize, oh my gosh, you have so many things to take care of first. I remember a client up in the Northeast, it was a behavioral health firm, and they'd done quite well in spite of themselves. And they wanted to take 19 facilities in the Northeast and grow nationwide. And so me and my team, we went up, and no lie, within the first probably 2 weeks, we recognized so much infighting within the leadership team that we need to work with unity and buy-in and collaboration just within your team before we even think about growing the company.
Wow.
So yeah, you're right. A lot of times what they say they need and what they actually need, two different things.
Yeah. When I think about confusion, I do think as leaders, so for all the advisors listening, whether you're a solo practice or you have a lot of people on your team, the leaders can drive clarity or confusion. And I think in the past, I've leaned into my skills of working directly with clients, financial strategies, but have not recognized as fully that if I'm not driving, whether I create the system or somebody else, what it does lead to over and over again, as I've seen it with different people, is people don't know what it looks like to have a successful week. The problems I'm asking them to solve all feel a lot heavier than they really are. And part of me as an owner wishes everybody just had the same level of problem solving and resolve I had as the owner, but they don't because it's not their business. The more I'm learning, I'm like, wow, systems almost feel like a requirement if you're going to be a leader, because just to create clarity and less confusion for people.
Totally agree.
You see that? Okay.
Oh, absolutely. Number one, the environments in which we operate are so complex, and they're getting even more so with both internal and external factors. So complexity is huge. And then the fluidity, I mean, things are changing. And I know I'm preaching to the choir because you see this every day as well.
Yeah.
But just the dynamic nature of the marketplace. If you don't have systems that will ground you in a process, you're just kind of fluttering around like a butterfly. That's no way to run a business.
Yeah. And I do think it has to come out of the leader's head and be written down. I think I'm in that process now of realizing, like, I think I see it in my head. I'm trying to communicate it with people, but we almost need to, together, whoever the department is, works on saying, how do we put a system around this, like an SOP? Like, one, it helps with continuity. I've had people be like, oh, hey, all of a sudden I'm moving across the country in 2 weeks. And I'm like, well, we haven't even replaced your role. How am I going to download it? So I'm more and more in the camp of, I've left the camp of, hey, systems, I guess, are sound nice, but I don't really need them because I'll figure out a way without it, to, man, if these things are not written down and communicated and adhered to, I don't think I'm running a healthy business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, consistency is key, especially if you're part of a firm. Mm-hmm. You would want your different advisors to do it, you know, fairly the same way across clients.
With the, so I'm trying to think for all of our listeners, if I don't have systems, or the system I have is one that's kind of created itself over time, as I put a fire out or put some duct tape here, you know, and again, most advisors, you'd step back and say, hey, this thing's kind of operating, but it may not feel very intentional. It's been very reactive over time. What, if I was to pay you to be a consultant to everybody listening right now, how would you walk them down that path of saying, what's the first system they need to build? You know, there's probably 20 they could, but they can't do it all at once. Yeah. How would you kind of warm a client up to, if you walked in and you're like, this feels like a mess, it's working, you're making okay money, but there's a whole new level you can get to, what would be the first step?
Oh, that's a good one.
Because you may have to convince them. I would say you would have had to convince up front. I might have given you some resistance.
I would probably use the things that I just shared a minute ago. I would ask questions. The first one that comes to mind would be, what financial concepts do clients most frequently ask you to explain? So if you're all the time hearing, hey, you know, help me think through X, or explain this a little bit better, or whatever, that is prime for a framework, whether it's one that you build yourself or one that you borrow from the literature or whatever. So I think that would be the first step, is think through what do I keep hearing about that clients or prospects want clarity on?
Yeah.
That's what frameworks do. And then I think the second thing that I would coach your advisors on would be really take an honest assessment of your knowledge and your communications.
Mm.
So think back, and really this has to be a self-reflection. Think about those times where you've had complex topics or activities that you either stumble over or you tend to avoid, right? Just because you can't communicate it succinctly, or you feel like that's over your head or whatever. I think that's the second scenario where a framework could really be helpful. So, you know, take away your anxiety or your angst, and, you know, you're thinking, oh my gosh, I hope they don't ask me about this particular topic. Well, if you have that framework or that model or that system in your back pocket, it just gives you that confidence. It gives you that, you know, that courage, I guess,
oh, yeah,
to say, you know what, I may not know everything about it, but I can sure ask really good questions. I can explain these three concepts around the framework. And that way, you don't have to have fear around certain conversations that you have with clients. So those two things, what financial concepts do you hear the most? And then where do you struggle? Where do you find that you have angst around certain parts of your business?
You know, when I think of that second question, I think that has probably led me to create more systems than any other factor. It wasn't always as proactive as like knowing that question and answering it and then building it. It was more of, this thing is creating so much frustration and pain in my life, I'm almost now forced to, which for me was hiring for a while, where it's like, maybe I'm just hiring too fast. Maybe I'm not qualifying people enough. I think for advisors, a lot of us just take meetings on the fly and have no structure or framework on why we ask a question when we do. Do we set expectations up front? So something we're working on for our members is, what if we had a framework for the first and second meeting you ever had with somebody? And as opposed to going in there with a yellow pad and kind of winging it, you know, hey, I open all my meetings with this one open-ended question. And I do it purposefully. And then I get up on the whiteboard and I teach this one idea purposefully.
Yeah.
For me, it'd be nice because then whenever I have a meeting, I'm put on my calendar by my team. It's like, I know exactly what to do now. Like I built the playbook and I'm going to run that play because I know it works versus, hey, I'm just going to go out there with the ball and run around and hope I end up in the end zone. And I think that's what most of us are doing as entrepreneurs is just like work hard and hope it works out versus I'm going to try something. If it works, I'm going to do it again the same way. And then I'm going to iterate it and improve it over time. And as I start seeing systems as that, all of a sudden they're more necessary and exciting to me versus this like necessary, boring business step.
Yeah, that's so good. So good. And, you know, there's even AI specific ChatGPTs that are built strictly for frameworks. And, you know, if the listeners want to go and they're probably familiar with ChatGPT, go look under frameworks and GPTs. And honestly, you can say, provide a framework for listening or asking great follow-up questions or whatever that challenge may be. And it gives you some pretty good ideas.
I know that's your world. I'm still learning to incorporate AI as kind of like a buddy when it's, hey, I'm struggling with my meeting framework. Oh, actually, I'm just going to go plug it in and see what comes back. Or, hey, what's a 5-step hiring process?
Yes.
I'm still kind of like, I'm going to lock myself in a room on a whiteboard and try to come up with it on my own first. So I'm trying to train myself to ask that question first to get some inspiration, still edit it and level it up on my own. But I think we're not in a phase of life anymore where we have to like ever do it alone.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, anything taken to the extreme can be a weakness or, you know, a point of inefficiency, let's put it that way. And you just alluded to over-reliance. And that's one thing that I do caution a lot of our junior consultants about is, look, even though they're great, they're wonderful tools to have, they cannot do your thinking for you.
Yeah.
Right. And so for your financial advisors, obviously you want them to provide a client with empathy-based wisdom, experience, and so on. And so maybe just to add on to what you're saying is be careful. Don't be so rigid with it or don't over rely on it because you're just using it as a guide.
Yeah.
You know, does that make sense?
Oh yeah, definitely. So one of the biggest points as we wrap up, the idea of paying attention to the thing that feels the most frustrating or is causing you the most issues for everyone listening, I think that's the indicator of the first system you need to build. What's making you inefficient? What's keeping you up at night? What seems to be taking you away the most from the thing you want to do most, which is maybe prospect and meet with more clients? There's some indicator probably buried in there of like, there's a better way to do this thing. I just need to wrap a system around it.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Great feedback.
Good.
Gary, I appreciate you, bud. Any kind of final word or send off? You were talking to entrepreneurs, financial advisors, and we're all out there grinding it, trying to do it the best way.
Just an encouragement to hang in there, be curious about it, right? So I love the idea of what you were just talking about. Think about things that cause you angst. Think about things that can make you better and just go play with it, whether it's an AI or whether it's, hey, let me see if I can just map it out myself. And then just use it once or twice. The more you use frameworks and models like that, it's going to become second nature. So hopefully that's an encouragement for you.
Yeah, hopefully we made systems sexy again after this podcast. So hopefully,
I don't know if they're sexy.
Anyway, that's right. All right, brother. Good to see you.
Likewise.